In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this Easter season, one of the things that the Scriptures direct us to are signs of the resurrection in our presence and in our midst. And of course, one of those signs that is miraculous, no doubt, is recorded in the first reading that we had from the book of Acts. The story goes like this. There was a man who'd been begging for years and years and years at the temple gate, and he could not walk. And of course, he depended upon the charity of many people. And Peter was with his cohorts, and as they were walking, the man cried out, "Help me, help me." And Peter says, "I don't have any money to give you." But he says, "I do have this that I've been given to me from the Lord. Stand up and walk." And of course, the man stand up and walked. And this miracle, if you will, astounded the people. And that's where our letter from the Acts reading comes in. People were wondering, how in the world did this happen? How is it that this man now walks? Because they've known him for years not to be able to. What special power, Peter, do you have that you're able to make people walk? And Peter had to say, "Oh, no, 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 no. It's not that I have any special power." As he says in the text, it's not my power or even my piety, holiness and piety before God by which this man now walks. It's because of the will of God. God willed it. Why God willed it, I don't know. But God willed it. And this act now has become, because I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, a sign of the resurrection. Things that are done in the name of Jesus, no matter how spectacular, by those who believe, are signs of the resurrection in our midst. In some ways, not to put too much about myself upon you, I stand here as a sign of the resurrection. This is the first time in 20 months that I've been able to stand up like that man at the courtyard of the temple and begin to lead a worship service with the people of God. 20 months, my first time. It's like a resurrection experience for me. Not that I have any special power or piety or ability. Of course, people could say, "Look at all the exercises you went through and all the help you got," and I did. But finally, like Peter says, whatever we do, ultimately, we do it on the strength of God, the one who raised us up to do these kinds of things that we now do. As a matter of fact, that's what the life of a congregation is all about. The life of a congregation is all about rising up and doing the things that the Lord wants done by His own power and by His own might. That is a sign of the resurrection. But of course, in our gospel reading for today, we go back to that night in which Jesus Himself appeared first to His disciples. There was lots of commotion, disbelief about this Jesus who had risen from the dead. There was arguments going on amongst Jesus' disciples because Peter said he had seen the Lord. And then two people who were on the road to Emmaus ate and broke bread with Jesus. And they said, "He is risen. He's alive." And while they were discussing this and debating all of this, in our gospel text for today, Jesus breaks into their presence with the words, "Peace be with you." Those are very, very important words. We know they're not just saying, "Hi, how do you do?" But peace be with you. Whatever opposition, whatever hostility, whatever anxiety might have arisen on account of what has happened to me, says Jesus, being crucified as I was by the establishment, whatever peace you may lack, whatever anxiety and guilt you may have, because you know that you had an opportunity to speak for the Lord, Peter, and you didn't. Maybe we've had opportunities to speak for the Lord sometime in our lives, or to do something in the name of the Lord in our lives, to bring the power of the resurrection to bear in our lives, and have not. It is to us that Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And of course, Jesus didn't, for some reason, look the same to them. They were afraid. Is this a ghost? What is the nature of the resurrection itself? And this is the first point that Luke wants us to understand. The resurrection is a total reality, spiritual and physical. Jesus isn't just a spirit. Jesus resurrected isn't a ghost. Jesus is man yet, human being, flesh and blood, but flesh and blood that has been conquered, that has conquered death, flesh and blood now that somehow is no longer bound by the limitations of this life, flesh and blood that can enter anywhere with the grace and the peace of God. That's who he is. And he wanted to convince them first of this. "Look at me. And how do I want to be known?" says Jesus. "Look at my hands and my side. I want to be known as the one who was crucified for you. Yes, I died for you." That is the first thing you always need to remember about me. And don't be ashamed of my death marks. Don't be ashamed of my suffering. And by the way, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, don't be ashamed of your suffering either. Don't be ashamed of the death marks that you sometimes carry in your body because of what has happened to you as well. In Jesus, these are now badges of courage. These are now signs of God's resurrecting grace, the wounds and the scars that we bear. The wounds and the scars that we bear because we bear his name, and that we don't ever stop bearing them. Having to convince them even more, he says, "Well, if you touch me and you're not convinced, give me something to eat. Spirits, ghosts don't eat food." And so he ate food with them. And evidently, he convinced them, although we don't get that word yet in this gospel reading, but it will pretty soon be such that they will believe and spread that word. But then Jesus goes on to give his second major point in this visitation, if you will, of his disciples. His second major point is that it's not just enough to say, "Oh yeah, he's risen from the dead. Thank you, we know that. We'll be on our way." No, no, no. What does his resurrection mean for us? What is the most basic and vital sign that the resurrection is happening and is at work in our lives today? Well, one is that we become a community that has the scriptures open to us, says Jesus. The scriptures are open, and we now know and see what the center of the scriptures is. It's not about these do's and don'ts that are constantly bombarding us in life, even in the scriptures. Do's and don'ts bombard people here and there. Not that they're bad, but they bombard us here and there and everywhere. But the do's and the don'ts, the law and its criticisms, is not what is the center of the scriptures. The center of the scriptures is exactly what I bore witness to you, says Jesus, that the Messiah must suffer and die, and on the third day rise. Die and rise. And what's the sign of death and resurrection happening in our life today that happens automatically? It's not a strange once in a while miracle, but it's something that happens over and over and over again. It is that repentance and the forgiveness of sins are proclaimed in his name. It's what we do when we gather here around this sacrament of bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, and we receive it for the forgiveness of our sins. It's what we did at the beginning of the worship service when we confess our sins and hear the word of God's forgiveness. As long as that deed of repentance and forgiveness is happening in the world, that's the visible sign of the resurrection at work. Even if we don't see Jesus with our eyes, we hear Jesus with our ears through the gift of forgiveness. And we see the power of his resurrection transforming us as we're able to face up to our sins and our shortcomings, our anxieties and our doubts, and say, "Forgive us, Lord." And he immediately and graciously does. That is the sign of resurrection in our midst, par excellence. The first sign that we who are sinful and repent receive God's forgiveness and grace without any cost to us. He has borne the cost. But of course, it doesn't end there. We are to be witnesses to these things, and that's what we are as the church. We are witnesses of these things. I'm reminded of a little story Martin Luther once told. He likened the Christian as a beggar. And a beggar who has happened to find a place where you can find food and have your life somehow revived. And he says, and what this beggar will do then is go and tell all the other beggars where this great food is. Because you need it and have been satisfied by it. You know that they need it because they are like you and they can be satisfied by it. And so we become witnesses. We who've been fed by God's mercy and God's grace, we who in the midst of knowing all of our shortcomings have been forgiven, we know the whole world needs this, all nations, as Jesus says. And so we begin to become witnesses to where we find the grace, the food, the nourishment, the forgiveness of God. Where do we begin? Well, this text says in Jerusalem, and that's home, if you will, for these disciples, sharing the message of the gift of the resurrection begins at home with those who are next to us. But as Luke will say a little bit later on, and we will hear about this when we celebrate the ascension, not only Jerusalem, but also to Judea, which is those second cousins, to Samaria, which might be our enemies, and then to the ends of the world, to people we don't even know yet. We are to be witnesses, and we make that witness wherever we are, because the power of the resurrection is in the world where we are, and it is in the world for the sake of the world. Amen.